You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we are back. And folks, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the barge and the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And so Laura Logan has been doing her homework on that. And so we're going to hear from her. So go ahead and take it away.
We got a timing issue with Laura Logan. She joins us right now. Laura, you've been on fire. I saw the Gateway Pundit piece that talked about what you're coming out with. We've had a Posobiec. Look, as a naval officer, I can tell you, something is not right about this situation. I don't. They got pilots, the most professional guys around. I don't know how they steered it at 8 knots right into the foundational element of the bridge. They could have dropped anchor. They should have had backup systems. You say there may be something. Here's the other thing that's concerned me. Why they run to the mic head? McCabe on this morning on at sunrise on CNN saying it's not terrorism. It's not terrorism. It's not. It might not be terrorism. But why do you come to the mic right away? These are the type. We need facts. We need empirical evidence. We need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you?
Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words, right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other. This is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard, is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done is you now have shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas. This is diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals. Everything that you need for your economy to move has literally just been shut down for 4 to 5 years. And how did they do it? They knew that they had to target one of two main anchor points on that bridge. There are two load-bearing pylons that any structural engineer can identify that are on the end of each side of the bridge. These are the ones that are thicker and stronger than anything else on that bridge. And when you hit one of those pylons, when you take that out, the reason you see so much of that bridge collapse instantly is you just brought 50% of the span of that bridge coming crumbling down. And what you don't see beneath the surface of the water, Steve, is absolutely catastrophic. It is a structural nightmare and a logistical nightmare, because you have the entire bottom part, the concrete part of that bridge, and you don't know the extent of the structural damage to that. And you won't know it until you pull all of that infrastructure out of there and you get to look at it. And so you're talking 3 to 5 years at best. And what you're talking about here is probably building a new bridge. So what you have effectively done now, you've shut down the I-95 corridor that's above ground. So now you're going to have to go north to New York. You're going to have to go south to North Carolina. And your trucks, your hazardous materials are going to have to go around Baltimore now. They're not going to be able to go through it. And what else did you do? You shut down the sea corridor, the shipping corridor, because now the port is shut down, right? And so all those tankers that are out at sea that have hazardous materials on them, those are going to have to all be rerouted. And why can you not move hazardous materials through the tunnel? Why is this such a big deal? Because they created that bridge because hazardous materials, for example, oversized loads, they don't fit in the tunnel system.
Yep.
And there's other loads that are so dangerous that they require a permit. It takes time to get a permit. It costs money to get a permit. It requires an escort, right? You've seen it on the highways sometimes. You've seen when you have these massive oversized loads and they've got escorts all around them, these huge convoys. Well, what do you do on one of the busiest corridors in the United States? You don't shut it down in the day. So this can happen. That means you can only move this stuff at night, which automatically impacts the amount of traffic that you can use. The tunnel is going to be overloaded. This is what you call death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolutely catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen. Just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machine that you cannot see.
Okay, I want to go. You just had this big thing with the FBI talking about the Chinese Communist Party's cyber hacking unit that they've been monitoring for 10 years, and now they're saying it's out of control. Are your sources telling you that they feel that there's enough information out there that it is a cyber attack, and is it a state actor or non-state actors?
100%, yes. They are saying that this is a cyber attack. You didn't have a terrorist group board the ship and commandeer it and take it over. You had somebody hack into the systems on board the ship, the GPS system, and reroute that ship. They did it in the middle of the night because they didn't want the crew to be awake. They didn't want everybody to be on full high alert. They wanted everybody to be asleep and you trying to wake people up and rouse people. Because when I spoke to one individual who has, let's just say he worked in Baltimore for many, many years, and was there when that bridge was opened. He knew when he looked at the security camera video of the harbor, the long version, the 7 minutes, he knew from the start of that video when he looked at that ship that it was not in the channel. You need to be in the channel to make that turn, to have any chance of making that turn. So now you're traveling. That is a river that flows pretty quickly, Steve, even under normal circumstances, right? And at a certain point, you're committed. That ship is heavy. The load is heavy. The water flowing at a certain speed. You've got very little room to maneuver. So at a certain point, there was absolutely nothing that they could do to stop that ship from the course that it was on because they were not in control of it. And they had all of these other factors coming into play. So when terrorism and counterterrorism experts look at this, when people who know critical infrastructure, there's a number of different people that I've spoken to, cyber people, when they look at it, they know exactly what they're looking at. And so it's extraordinary that anybody could come out now when they haven't had time to do an investigation, I know for a fact that they're getting people inside their agencies that are telling them what they're telling me, and they're making public statements that completely contradict what anybody who knows this terrain, who knows it, and I don't just mean the physical terrain, I mean the cyber terrain and the terrorism terrain and the critical infrastructure terrain and all of that. I mean, I've talked to people whose job after 9/11 was to identify, if you were Al-Qaeda and you wanted to capitalize on that attack, how would you do it? They were the people that came up with the term death by a thousand cuts. And what you're looking at now is exactly what they feared terrorist groups would do to really exploit the advantage that they had after 9/11. Because you are bringing the United States to its knees step by step from within.
Laura, how can people follow you on this? We'd love to have you back on the next couple of days. How do people, social media, podcast, all of your information, your writing, where do people go?
You can find me on X. I'm putting most of this information out on X. And I really want to emphasize, Steve, strongly, we are in an undeclared war right now. And these are not my words. I'm not making this up. This is coming from people who really know and who ordinarily would never, ever talk to me. But we've reached a point in this city. I think, if you look at the quote of one of the intelligence analysts that I spoke to, right? I'm just going to read it to you very, very briefly, okay? It's not long, and it really sums it up. He said, they have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, a lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are in a free fall ride on a roller coaster right now. no brakes, just picking up speed. And I would urge people, watch very carefully the people that tell you that this attack doesn't matter. Stop following them on Twitter. Discount everything they say because they're either totally ignorant and useless or they are a plant. And there's a lot of Anons out there, right? And I follow a lot of Anons. And I appreciate and respect the work that they're doing. But we're in a moment of truth now. We have very, very little time. When you start to shut down, you know, hazardous materials and the shipment of fuel, you know what that means. It means everything goes up. It means food goes down. You know, the access to food and critical infrastructure, that means that goes down. Prices go up. This is catastrophic for the American people, and it's catastrophic for this country. But it is a financial and economic attack. If you're not going to see tanks rolling down the street, stop looking at the type of, you know, conventional war and saying to yourself, well, if I don't see this, then it means we're okay. If people need to understand what they're looking at. And for those people who say, well, you know, the FBI, isn't it interesting? Christopher Wray just put this big counterterrorism guy, you know, he put him in charge of the FBI office of Baltimore just yesterday. And this is the guy that's out in front of the cameras already. Well, isn't that amazing, right? Do you believe in coincidences? I don't. I don't believe in coincidences anymore. None of this happens by chance. This happens by design. And the problem that we have is that people in power in this country are complicit in the breakdown of American infrastructure and America's defenses. And Steve, this is one thing that's really important for people to understand. If you step back from this for one single moment, you will notice a pattern developing here. When we left behind $80 billion of equipment in Afghanistan, nobody said we had to do that. There was no one with a gun to the administration's head saying, get out of Afghanistan by this date. They said, oh, we made a deal with the Taliban. Oh, wait a minute. You made a deal with a bunch of terrorists? You're the world's superpower. You chose a timeline and you chose an exit that resulted in handing $80 billion of advanced military equipment to your enemies. Well, what did that do? It reduced the advantage that America had on the battlefield because you narrowed the gap by giving them technology that spent years, cost the taxpayers hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to develop. You gave that to your enemies. What did the Taliban do? They gave it to Russia. They gave it to China. They gave it to Iran. They gave it to whoever they needed to do to reverse engineer it and figure out how to use it. Then what do you have? Years later, remember when under Obama, when the drone went down, there was a stealth drone that went down over Iran and the Obama administration chose not to recover it. Well, I know people who were on a team of American intelligence operatives doing other work. They were on the ground in Iran. They were literally within less than an hour away from that drone. They had it within arm's reach. They could have gone and recovered it. And they were told to stand down. The Obama administration left that stealth technology in the hands of the Iranians. Fast forward years later, what do you have happening in Iraq? Oh, you have an attack on a U.S. base where a number of U.S. soldiers die and it's not detected on the radar? Oh, yeah, because you were using a stealth drone that you reverse engineered. So this has been going on for a very, very long time now. It started under Obama. It was interrupted by Trump and it was continued under the Biden administration. I know somebody else who was in USASOC who was horrified when he was seconded to the State Department to find that we had turned off satellite monitoring systems that were our counter-nuclear proliferation technology. The guy running that program in the State Department was playing cards on his computer, and he was ordered to stand down by his superior officers. There's not a direction that you can look in, Steve, where we have our leaders, people in power, have been systematically dismantling the defenses of the United States of America. And this attack is a wake-up call. Open your eyes and realize what you are facing.
All right, this is exactly what we've been trying to tell people for the longest time here. We've told them, going back to Bill Clinton when he sold the Chinese all of the technology that we had on the computer technology and the weaponry, little by little. But when Obama came in, we told you for 8 years, every single day, look what he's doing. He's dismantling. This is what he's doing. He is appointing people. He took out 11 four-star generals. He purged them. These were people that were patriotic Americans, and he replaced them with bootlickers, people that would quickly sell America down. And that's exactly what they've been doing. And we've been trying to tell people. Now, things are going. It's going to be very interesting. We have on American soil now, we have literally 10 million Chinese nationals alone. We have altogether people that are illegal aliens, over 50 million, okay, that have come on into this country over the years. I'm talking about going back to, going all the way back to Obama up. And Trump, we've got to get Trump back in office. And he's going to have to use what factions of the military that are still loyal to the American people. I mean, what's happening in America is what's happened in many, many other countries. It's happening right now. And I encourage, now, one thing I have seen, a lot of people, especially people who listen to this radio program, and Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and others, they seem to be stocking up on food, stocking up on ammunition. I'm noticing that even in our area out there, when we go into the salvage stores out there where it used to be, we'd go in and, you know, people would have be shopping. There might be 10, 12 people in a store, and their carts would be maybe a third of the way full. Now the carts are filled to overbrim, and there's not 10 or 12, there's 40, 50 people in the stores, and they're really stocking up out there. And they need to do that. They need to be stocked up. But the main thing is we need to start. We've got to get militias formed in the county. Remember, in the Constitution, Second Amendment requires a standing, well-armed militia. And we have to start taking the grand juries there, our judicial back. And tomorrow night at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry at 7 p.m., there's going to be a tactical civics meeting. Everybody needs to sign up for that because that's what it's all about. It's about showing you how to install, again, the militia. And the militia is a people. It's us. And as you know, too, the grand jury is not supposed to have prosecuting attorneys on. It's supposed to be grand jury but for the people, by the people. And that grand jury has authority. They tell the courts who's indicted. They have taken over. The corrupt judicial system has taken and they've corrupted the system so bad.
The entire political structure is being corrupted. I mean, it has been corrupted. You know, you just look at the politicians all the way around. How can somebody go into politics and come out a rich person? That doesn't even make sense.
That fellow named Harry Truman, you remember him? He said, listen, anytime you see a politician get rich in office, you can bet he's a crook. Nancy Pelosi went in, started into Congress with a value of a little over $1 million. Today she's worth over $100 million.
We the people desperately need to take our nation back at local, state, and federal levels.
That's exactly what.
As far as with what you're talking about with all these, with the invasion, we gotta address that with militias, and then, God willing, some sort of organization with our sheriffs.
Yep.
So how do we get the sheriffs to come together and then form some sort of band of?
Pull that mic right down in front of your face. Pull it right down, right up. Touch it with your nose.
Band of brothers.
Now you're working. Okay. Very good.
We have to have a solution that can't look to the federal government.
No, you can't.
Well, look at the whole system of the lobbying in Washington. How can we allow something like that going on? And what do? They just feather somebody's nest so that they'll vote for whatever
they're
lobbying.
It's ignorance and apathy. Ignorance and apathy.
I mean,
If we got legitimate elections, then we need to get rid of all those that are corrupt. That's the bottom line.
Where it's got to start. Here's the cause of all of this. This is why we didn't have it in the early days of this country, is because they were biblically literate. Today, people are not biblically literate. They really don't know that killing a baby is murder. They really don't know. They think that if the government legalizes it, it's not a sin. They really don't understand, okay?
Right.
And so it starts, the Bible says, judgment begins where? in the house of God, and in that house it starts in the pulpit. And that's where we have failed God miserably, is from the pulpits. They've been much, much more concerned about self-help, appeasing the offering plate than they are about appeasing the master.
And the family structure is what has deteriorated, and the family is not teaching their children or each other about anything anymore. They're just,
we need to restore the fear of God.
They're just living in the same quarters. That's about all they're doing, a lot of families.
Well, you see, first of all, they have to have permission of the smartphone. You know, you see them standing there. You see, I've watched in restaurants where there's been a family with four kids sitting there. Every one of them had a smart. Nobody's talking to each other. They're all looking on their phone. Yeah. You see this all the time. You even see this. I even see people in church, adults, you know, doing this. Okay, they should know better. Not in church, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I've got that.
We need to get our priorities straight.
Well, yeah, yeah. And how do you do that? Well, you start with God's Word, the Bible. Yeah, you start with biblical literacy, right?
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And duty to country. Get rid of the corruption.
Yeah, and if more families would start going to homeschooling and teaching their children, they'd get a lot further along than having the public school system teach them.
I was one of the pioneers, as you know, that in the state of Ohio on homeschool. We started that, Martha Lippitt, back when there was no homeschooling hardly in Ohio, none that we knew of. And we started that because Martha, who was a school teacher with a one-room schoolhouse, and she had the Ten Commandments on the wall and a Bible on her desk. And that one-room schoolhouse, the ACLU came in and said, no, you got to get rid of that, okay? She called me, and I said, let's fight. And we started promoting homeschooling, and more people started doing it. We contacted a bunch of the suppliers that supply curriculum for the homeschoolers. And it started to grow right here in Ohio. Because you know what? Listen to this. Here's something I discovered right here in the Word of God. It says, parents, raise up your children.
Oh, wow.
It says, parents, raise up your children. You believe that?
Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, I knew that.
And God was right, huh?
Yeah.
You know, my deaf daughter raised two hearing children, homeschooled them all the way through high school.
And, really?
And they both have master's degrees now from colleges, but she homeschooled them all the way through.
How did she teach them?
And
lip reading?
So the thing is, you don't have to think that you can't do that with your children. If you don't know something, you'll learn it with your children. So don't feel like you don't know enough to homeschool somebody. And as you grow, you will teach.
Well, the curriculum nowadays is so easy, you know, because the parents get the curriculum, and it's simple. It tells you step by step, here, apply this, and even when it comes to testing them, it tells you it's so very easy. It's made a lot easier than it used to be. Okay.
And there's tons of literature out there to help you and support that. So it's anybody that says they can't homeschool is fooling themselves or just don't want to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's, and again, you know, I've told a number of parents where, you know, we can't afford to homeschool our children. You know, we've got a house payment. We've got two cars. We have to, and I tell them, look, what's more important, having two cars or or your child? You know, you can't afford not to nowadays. You cannot afford not to. And so,
well, if you look at the cost of a working woman, a woman outside the home, to try to have a two-family income. If you look at what the cost is for her to go to work, and there's been a lot of written on that, you're not making much money.
I schooled, my son. I homeschooled him and
Matthew.
Yeah, and well, let's go over to Style. I think he might have been homeschooled. Hey, Style.
I was not homeschooled. However, I will say this. If you think you can't afford to homeschool and you keep sending to public schools and they keep taxing for public schools, you're not going to be able to afford a home.
That's right. And now that I'm here, you're going to get homeschooled.
I'm ready for it.
Are you ready? Okay.
I got 1 year down already. I'm ready for year two.
But it hasn't been boring, has it?
Never a dull day.
Right. It's different. We got to say that. Anyhow, we got to get after some things. You know that lady that you just heard, Laura Logan? You know, she's a Jewish lady and a very, very pretty one at that, too. And a very, very smart. And she's gutsy. And she's very, very gutsy. But anyhow, remember what we were always talking about. We've told you from the beginning, on October 6th, when Hamas went into Israel, when that raid took place, on that very day, when Joe Obama Biden come out and said, we're going to stand with Israel, we're going to stand. And I said, folks, he will turn on Israel. They will all turn on Israel. Well, as you've noticed, little by little, Biden has been betraying, turning on Israel. Israel's the ambassadors refuse to come here now. British lawmakers call a halt to arms sales to Israel. The United Kingdom could following Canada's decision last week to halt arms sales to Israel over the war in Gaza, and after more than 130 parliamentarians signed a letter urging London to cut off all weapons sales, coming on the heels of Monday's passage of the UN Security Council's resolution demanding a freeze in the fighting during Ramadan, which ends on April 9th. The letter was addressed to Foreign Secretary David Cameron. Well, of course, in that, the United States abstained. They didn't vote. That's the same as voting yes, okay? And so they betrayed. We told you.
Yep.
I mean, we knew it was going to happen, didn't we? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Europe's very anti-Israel, it seems.
Well, the whole world is turning more and more anti-Israel, okay? Yeah. This is
we must pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
The sign of the time when the Lord returns, at that time all nations will have turned against Israel. And the Lord will actually pull all the nations down upon Israel, because it's the tribulation period is for the purification of the nation of Israel and also for the judgment on the Gentile nations. And so he's going to pull them in.
So if our Congress passes a bill to fund arms to Israel, can Biden shut that down just with a veto?
Well, it depends on the margin of you have the votes, because if they have 2/3, he can't do it. He can't shut it down. They can override a veto. So you have an article there, Richard. You have?
Yeah, I sure do. I have a couple. The one is interesting for a lighter avenue here. That we have a major win. Disney drops a fight over the Florida's parental rights in education, and that is really something. You may not be aware that Disney was fighting the governor, and the governor Ron DeSantis, he apparently was taking their corporate standing away, and because.
They had special tax breaks and everything. And,
right, exactly.
But Disney has gone very dark in pedophilia.
They essentially had sovereignty.
Yeah. They actually had sovereignty, yeah.
Yes, they did. And so they were fighting in court, Governor DeSantis, and they've dropped the fight now. So they've dropped
Disney
the...
Disney seems to be run by a bunch of perverts.
Yes,
it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Disney is. There's a lot of sodomite activity.
They went woke anymore. Before.
Yeah.
Yeah, before woke was even popular.
Yeah.
In their style, he's got his own blog. Tell him about your blog, Style.
StylesRebelRadio.com. We cover a bunch. We actually just did this past October a whole hour long special on Disney and all the different dark backstories behind it.
Yeah,
certainly not for children.
We've broken a lot of those over the years. We're coming up to a fast break, and then when we come back from the break, Aaron, you've got an announcement to make, so take us away. feels so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised. But that's not what the New Age church is for. The truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth. But it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared, so I go to heaven, or as I fear, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He has risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
I am, he died, but guess what? He has risen, folks.
Amen.
Amen. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that empty tomb puts the fear into the heathen. But go ahead. Do you got something coming up in Congress that we need to do? So tell us about it.
We do. This is an article from Just the News. It's titled, Marjorie Taylor Greene Calls for Expelling Representative Gallagher to Force Special Election, written by Ben Wedden. Georgia Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has urged House Speaker Mike Johnson to either pressure outing Wisconsin GOP Rep. Mike Gallagher to leave office ahead of schedule or move to expel him, so as to allow a special election to determine his replacement. Gallagher on Friday announced that he would resign on April 19th and leave the GOP with a one-vote majority in the lower chamber. His timetable, however, would see him leave past the Wisconsin deadline for a mandatory special election, The Hill reported. Green, for her part, suggested Johnson ought to force the issue and remove Gallagher so the GOP could regain the soon-to-be-lost seat. Speaker Johnson should be forcing Mike Gallagher to leave early, so that his district can hold a special election, and any strong Republican Speaker of the House would expel a member for leaving our razor-thin majority in such a delicate, delicate state. We cannot allow this, she said during a Sunday appearance on Fox News. Speaker Johnson has also failed our majority because he is allowing Mike Gallagher to leave our Congress after the deadline date where his district cannot hold a special election and elect a new representative for the rest of his entire Congress. So what's important here, America, is we need to call Speaker Johnson and urge him to expel move to expel him or urge or pressure him to resign before April 9th. He is currently going to resign April 19th, and that will not allow a special election. So before
we need phone numbers. Speaker Johnson's phone number.
Speaker Johnson's phone number is 202-225-2777. And Representative Gallagher, what's important to understand is he is the chairman of the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. So his phone number is 202-225-5665. And really, you should call both, as well as your personal congressman, and urge them to urge Speaker Johnson to call a vote to expel Mr. Gallagher if he will not step down before the 9th, because we will lose his seat for the rest of this Congress.
Let me tell you, so if only half the people that were listening to this radio program tonight, right now, that's listening to us right now, are going to be hearing it when it gets replayed tomorrow, call that number. It'll break their phones down, okay? And it's we've worked in the past. One time we turned in over 400 phone calls just in one day. And we can do that. If the people out there listen, you folks listening, are you doers of the word? Your country's falling apart. I mean, it's you know, and why is that happening? It's happening because of ignorance and apathy. And so we need for you to make those calls. Those numbers again, Speaker Johnson's demand. See, here's something that you probably don't know. You pay their salary, you see. They're actually supposed to be working for you. They're not royalty. They're not.
Right.
And so.
And they also swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and defend it from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And we are in a crisis upon crisis upon crisis with everything just continually happening, as well as the border invasion. So
absolutely.
Call Speaker Johnson and pray. Pray first. Pray that the Lord will move upon his heart to just do this immediately. They're on another thing to understand is they're on district work period until April 9th. So they're not back in session until April 9th. And he's got to resign before the 9th so that Wisconsin can have the special election.
Well, then I would start calling Gallagher's office. Call Gallagher at
202-225-5665. And Speaker Johnson is 202-225-2777. Those are their Washington numbers, and if they're back home on their in their district leave, so I'm assuming they will have their calls forwarded to them.
Yeah, well,
right,
right. So anyhow,
call them every day and pray every day,
and be prepared. Stock up on food, water, but like you said, pray every day. And again, if you should join Tactical Civics, just go to up in the internet, tacticalcivics.org, tacticalcivics.org, and or is it .com? Try both. Anyhow, folks, we need
because really what Representative Gallagher's doing is he's stabbing us in the back.
That's what's been happening. These rhinos have been doing that. Mm-hmm. They've been betraying us.
That's a vote until January, next congressional session.
You saw what happened with President Trump. They surrounded him with traitors. And it's high treason. The guy in the White House, Joe Obama Biden, is treasonous. The guy that's really pulling the shots, Barack Obama. The New York Times have come out and admitted, yes, we've known that it's Barack Obama who's calling the shots. Obama is just a puppet there. Okay?
You rightly described Hussein Obama. He's a man of great, great sin.
He is. He is a great, great sin. And so, anyhow, we also have coming up here, Pastor Hal's with us. Bring Pastor Hal up. Hey, Hal.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, we expect you to say something just miraculous and inspirational, so go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, in Proverbs 14:34, it says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And America has been under reproach since day one that the Biden crime family has taken over this country. And everything they've done, they've methodically done to destroy this country and bring it down. And people, it's taken them a long time to wake up and, you know, just see what's going on. But we got to pray that the people in this country repent of their sins, because God will help us if we turn to him in repentance and faith. And, you know, he can take care of the problem. He can take care of any problem we got if we turn to him. But now most of the people are listening right now. They'd rather go to heaven than go to hell. And God has a formula to go to heaven. He has a plan. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means, folks, you could be a member of every church in town and go to hell with all your membership cards. Good works, church membership, all that doesn't wash away one sin. If you could quit sinning right now and never sin again to the day you died, just that one sin would keep you out of heaven, and we sin every day of our lives in thought, word, or deed. But you could be the worst sinner in town and come to God in repentance and faith, and he'll wash away every sin you've ever done and give you eternal life. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is going to God and admitting to God something he knows already anyway. And without Jesus Christ in your heart, we're all a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. But when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he'll come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid in your place. Why did Jesus have to die on that cross? It's because God is a God of righteousness as much as he is a God of love. His righteousness cannot let sin come into heaven. Sin had to be paid for. His righteousness demanded it. So he allowed Jesus to transfer your guilt and my guilt upon his son, Jesus. So when Jesus died on that cross and said, it is finished, that meant all the work necessary for your redemption and mine has been taken care of by Jesus Christ. But now that salvation don't become yours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It's not just knowing what Jesus did for you on that cross. Even the devil knows Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to save your soul. But the devil don't want you to reach out and receive that payment. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved, that's saved from hell, through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Jesus did all the work. And whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. Now, how do you receive that finished payment? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul. And by the way, Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's not through the city's water system. You could get baptized so often every tadpole in the creek knows your social security number and still die and go to hell. The Pope, the Billy Graham, I don't care who it is, they can give you all the absolutions in the world. It won't wash away one sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself through Jesus Christ shed blood on that cross, which was the blood of God himself. So if you want to be saved, if you want that free gift, just go to God, admitting the fact you're a sinner, being sorry about it, ask Jesus to come into your heart. And let me lead you to Christ right now in a simple prayer of faith, if I may. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be saved. So if you'd like to do that, pray with me this simple prayer. Oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And God, I ask you right now to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and give to me the payment you paid in my place on Calvary's cross so I can have eternal life. I here and now accept you as my Savior, my one and only way to heaven, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, if you prayed that prayer right now, in 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John speaking to those who received Christ just like you just did, and he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice he didn't say that believe about. Believe on meant that they received him as their personal Savior, which you just did, that you may know. Not that you may think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that you may know you have, as present tense, eternal life. Now, how can you know it? Because God promised you. God cannot lie. So according to God's promise and your prayer, if you sincerely prayed a prayer like we just prayed a moment ago, then God came into your heart and gave to you that payment, and nobody or anything can ever take that away from you. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, very, very good. Thanks. Again, the time will come, and there's no chance at all that it won't. None. That the only thing that will matter to anyone is their personal standing with the Lord Jesus. That's going to happen. Yep, that's going to happen. Liberals wage war on white rural Americans. And folks, this is, again, more signs of the times that we're talking in here. It's always exciting to find out when the left finds another group of Americans to hate. First, it was President Barack Obama's bitter, he called us bitter clingers. Remember, we cling to our Bibles and our guns, the bitter, bitter clingers. Then, remember, Hillary called us, we're basket of deplorables, okay?
Yes.
She didn't like me. She cussed me out. Hillary. And anyhow, now you got Obama Biden's calling us the ultra MAGA Republicans, and we're insurrectionists, and we're the Christian nationals. Okay. Ooh. So now the menace of the moment is something called white rural rage. Okay, all of us white guys, we're raging. Okay, but not quite yet. But I'm on my way. I think I'm about ready to rage, you know, on all the communists out there. Coming from the left, the attack is ironic. Throughout our history, farmers have been the backbone of the Democratic Party and various progressive movements. Thomas Jefferson, the party's founder, believed virtue lay with those who tilled the soil. Farmers were essential to the populist movement of the late 19th century and the New Delhi Coalition. The Democratic Communist Party, today of Minnesota, is still officially known as the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Parties. But the left has done a 180-degree turn here. Rural Americans are now the greatest threat to democracy since the mythical January 6th insurrection. That January 6th was a coup. It was a coup done by treasonous.
Yes.
And that January 6th committee, those people all committed high treason, and every one of them needs to be in those dirty, filthy jails where the Christian, real, true American patriots are today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well, Lord willing, we'll get biblical justice there.
Amen.
Got to get Trump back into office.
Well, yeah, and but, you know, we're going to be up against a battle because the left is, they're totally corrupted. They're going to try everything you can. You know, they just found another 9,000 ballots there. I believe it was in Illinois. And you know, they're just, you know, it's an interesting thing when they're always for Republicans, you know, that didn't make it to the Board of Elections.
Yeah, this ballot that they did the last election, the last presidential election, you know, they don't seem to have it fixed yet. So,
well, now there's going to be a lot more people, a lot more scrutiny, but the Communist Party is always going to come up with new ways to cheat. That's what they do. Okay,
yeah.
They cheat.
Well, Pennsylvania, I think I read an article that just said they have to have an actual date signed with their mail-in ballot.
Right here in Ohio, they had over 100-something people that voted that were all older than the oldest living human being on Earth. Do you realize that? But right here in Ohio, we got 100-something people older than the oldest living. They all voted, okay?
Listen, the dead love the Democrats, all right?
Yeah, yeah, they do. And
well, remember in 2020 when they were accepting ballots that had no postmark date?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I think Pennsylvania actually ruled in the right favorably as far as legitimate.
Well,
you have to have a actual
you know, we need to go back to voting day, not voting month.
That's right.
Right.
And
paper ballots, hand counted.
That's right. It wasn't broke, so they didn't
voter ID.
Need, but they put the fix on it, and the fix was in.
Yeah.
Amen. How much time do I have left here tonight? Okay, very good. Well, Pastor Hal, you're right. I want to vote. Let all the folks out there know, too, to have a blessed, blessed Resurrection Sunday, what Resurrection Amen. Sunday is all about. Oh, and I got to remind the folks, too, we're only going to have a morning service, not an evening service, you know, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. We do things just the opposite of what most of them do. Like, we have two services, sometimes three services on a Sunday. Most of the churches only have one out there. They don't have two services. But when it comes to Resurrection Sunday, most of them have two services, and we only have one. And we do the same thing on Christmas because we believe that those are the days we need to spend for family, right?
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to mention 2 Chronicles 7:14, if your listeners aren't real familiar with that. This is so important because there's a lot of listeners that are believers here. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's so important because he says, if my people, we don't have to worry about the people that aren't Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We need to get down on our knees and turn to the Lord and just let him know if we're not walking the right way.
Well, you see, you keep hearing people wanting revival, revival, revival. You can't have revival without repentance. You got to have repentance first.
Well, that being said, most of us don't support this woke, homo, trans garbage, right?
No.
So what we don't live under a monarchy like when that scripture was written. We have supposedly a constitutional republic, so we need to get our elected officials in alignment with our values.
Well, you see, God's word, the Bible, okay, takes precedent over any other form of government, okay?
It's the highest.
Right here.
Right.
And so, absolutely.
But our laws don't come from a king. They come from our elected representatives.
Well, no, our laws actually started coming from the Bible itself. This is where if you read it.
I mean, yeah. Our government.
Yeah.
Not okay. Of course, the word of God is above.
Well, yeah, this is, see, law comes from right here. This is a book of law. Right here, legislation or what is legal comes from man out there. There's a big difference between often what is lawful, what is legal. Most of the time today, nowadays, what is legal is not lawful, okay? And so, you know, we're talking about sodomite marriage, we're talking about abortion, we're talking about euthanasia. All those are legal.
Mutilating our children.
But they're not lawful, okay? Yes. And so we have to hold to this word of God. Richard, you've seen me defend myself in these apostate courts with this book right here. This is the King James Bible is a book of law, okay? And it's the highest authority in existence today.
And they're trying to take the King James Bible out of everything.
And President Trump now is selling the King James Bible. He's promoting the King James Bible.
Wow, praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, he's been on these commercials out there. They have a King James Bible that's got the Founding Fathers, statements by the Founding Fathers in it. But he's urging everyone to go out and get a King James Bible. He's done figured it out, huh?
It is the most accurate English translation.
It is the Word of God.
Yes. Inerrant Word of God.
And preserved Word
in
of God.
In English, yes.
Flawless.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. It is.
Amen.
And so, remind you, again, all of you out there, have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. How much time do I have? I'm checking the clock. And so, again, remember, the resurrection was the most important event in all of history. You say, what about creation? Creation and the birth of Christ, the Christ child, were leading up. They were proceeding, leading up to the most important. And when he said it is finished, and when those graves was opened and Christ arose, that was it.
Sin was judged.
Absolutely. And
victory over death.
Death and hell were defeated, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, well, we're at that point where we get to every night. And Pastor Hal, you're still there, where we say good night.
Good night. Good night.
And we say, God bless.
God bless.
Always, always, always.
Always.
Ready?
Keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv. and on Local Now, Channel 525.